This is Mishnayos Meseches Gittin, lesson number 38, in which we will complete our study of Mishnayos Meseches Gittin. And we will also begin our study of the next Mishnayos Meseches Kiddushin. I will only be with you for the first Mishnah, Mishnah Yud of Perek Tes, and hand off to another great teacher the beginning and the rest of Meseches Kedushin. The last Mishnah, Meseches Gittin, begins. Grounds for divorce. Beishamay Omrim, Lo Yigore Shodom Es Ishto Elohim Kein Motza Bo Devar Erevo. A man should not divorce his wife unless he has found some promiscuity in her behavior. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Ki motzo vo ervas dovor. V'chosav lo sefer krisus. You give a divorce if you find some grounds for the suspicion of adulterous or unseemly behavior. So Beis Shammai is rather strict in defense of the woman not getting divorced. Uveis Hillel omrim, afilu hikdicha tafshilo. Beis Hillel is much more liberal, gives more flexibility, so to speak, to the man. And says, even if she burned his food, she burnt the soup, she burnt the cholent, meaning she's not a good housewife, she doesn't take care of the tzorchei habayis. Even then, he can divorce her, shenema ki motzo vo ervas dovor, which he understands to mean, ki motzo vo erva o dovor, whether it's an erva, some promiscuous or unseemly behavior, whether it's anything that brings about discord, he can divorce her. Rabbi Akiva, Omer afilu motzo acheres noy mena. He doesn't like her anymore. He found somebody else. He can say, okay, I'll divorce her. Shenema v'hoyoim lo simtzo chen b'enov. If she no longer pleases him, that's sufficient grounds. Halach is like Beis Hillel. There has to be some grounds. It doesn't have to be adultery. It could be even hikdicha tafshila. The Gemara, in ending our Meseches, quotes some psukim at the end of Sefer Malachi, which give a rather sentimental, almost romantic view of marriage and negative view of divorce. The pasuk reads in Novi Malachi, if there's hatred, real animosity between the couple, then send away, then divorce. Rabbi Yehuda darshens this, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, im sonei so shalach. If you really hate her, it's just impossible to live with her, then divorce. Rabbi Yochanan Omer, no, sonei shalach means sonui hamishalach. A person who divorces his wife is despicable. And the Gemara says, lo pligi, there's no machlokas. Depends a first marriage, a second marriage. Because Rabbi Loza says, anyone who divorces his first wife, the wife of his youth, even the mizbeach sheds tears, the altar says tears. As the pasuk reads in Sefer Malachi, Perek Beis, Psukim Yud Gimel and Yud Dalet. V'zos shenis tasu kasos dimo es mizbach Hashem b'chiva anoko. Tears, wailing, weeping cover the altar of God. V'amatem almo, you'll say, why? Why is the mizbeach crying? Al ki Hashem heyid beinecho v'neishes nurecho. Because God testifies about the discord between you and the wife of your youth. Hasherato bo gadito bo, because you have betrayed her, v'hi chavertecho, and yet she is your companion, v'eishes brisecho, and the woman of your covenant. This is the glorious relationship, which is the ideal relationship, so that if that relationship breaks up in divorce, the mizbeach morid olav demos. And so we have finished the 10th Mishnah of the 9th Perek of Gittin, and with it, we have completed our study of Mishnayos Meseches Gittin. Mazel tov to all, and I hand it over to the next teacher.
Masachas Kiddushin. Kiddushin really is the first stage of marriage, and the second stage is called Nisuin. Originally, the Nisuin was taking place at a different time than the Kiddushin. Now, however, the custom is that both the Kiddushin, both the betrothal, the Irusin, and the Nisuin take place at the very same moment. Masachas Kiddushin primarily deals with the halachos that pertain to this engagement, the betrothal, how exactly this relationship can be carried out, who can actually carry out this relationship, what can be done to affect the Kiddushin in order to make it binding, and who cannot make it binding. It also deals with other types of related issues in terms of legal methods of acquisition, and at the end, problems of lineage of the Jewish people, or not Jewish people. Well, let's begin the first Mishnah. The Mishnah begins, Ha'isha nikneis b'shalosh drachim v'kona es atzma b'shnei drachim. A woman is literally acquired. Interesting, the commentators actually say, why is the passive language used? Ha'isha nikneis. Maybe it should have said, Ha'ish kona, should have said a man acquires. Why does it have that a woman becomes acquired in three different ways? And the reason is because really the woman plays a very important role, and that is she must have das, she must have intent to be betrothed. She cannot be forced into such a relationship. And therefore the Mishnah focuses on the woman being central, Ha'isha nikneis, that the woman is acquired, because she also plays a significant role to affect this Kiddushin. What are the three different ways that a woman becomes acquired? The Mishnah continues and tells us, Kesef, shtar, and bia. With money, with a note, with a document, or with bia, marital relations. What happens is, a person says to a lady, in front of two witnesses, man says to a woman, with this money that I'll be giving you, this will affect a relationship, a betrothal, a kiddushin between me and you. She accepts the money, or she accepts the shtar, and on the shtar it says on it, you will be betrothed to me, harayim kodeshly, in front of witnesses. And the third case is that right before a man and a woman seclude themselves to have marital relations, he says to her, in front of these two witnesses, that again, they're having marital relations, that should affect a kiddushin. And then they go and they seclude themselves. So again, these are the three different ways that a woman becomes nikness, a woman is acquired through kesef, through shtar, and bia. Already in the times of Chazal, however, they said, makadesh bevia michin oslo makas mardus, that a person who would betroth a young lady using marital relations was considered rebellious, because they felt it would cause the Jewish people to be perutin. They would become promiscuous. And therefore, at the time of Chazal, they eliminated the method of being of kiddushin for using bia. Really, already the emphasis was on kesef, and just to some extent, not just kesef, not money, but as we will learn, it will actually be shvei kesef. The traditional way of being a kaddish and isha is using an item of value, that is monetary value. The Mishnah then continues to explain the kesef. What exactly? What is the amount of money that a person must use in order to be a kaddish and isha? Beis Shammai omrin b'dinar u'b'shved dinar. If Shammai says, what exactly is the proper amount? But Shammai says a dinar which is 192 perutas, and a one peruta, 0.0025 grams of silver. That is the amount that Shammai says is used in Kadesh and Isha or Shved dinar, an item worth that amount. But Hillel says, no, the peruta, the Shved peruta. The Kamahi peruta, how exactly, what's the value of this peruta? Echad Mishmona b'Isar Ha'italki says Beis Shammai, or says Beis Hillel, Mishnah says, how much is this pruta? It is 1/8 of an Isar, talkie, just to convert that amount into something which we can relate to. And his story is 1/24th of a dinar, and therefore a pruta is worth 1/192 of a dinar. So those are the three methods that a woman can be acquired. How can she get out of this acquisition? The kona es atzma. How can she leave this relationship? How can she get out of this relationship? How is this relationship severed? The answer is in two different ways. The get, the misa sabal, either with a get, a bill of divorce, or the death of her husband. In both those two cases, she's no longer betrothed to the man. Hayavama niknes via a yavama. Who is a person that, according to the Torah, if a man dies without children, one of his brothers must marry his widow. That act is actually referred to as yibum. And the widow, this lady herself, is referred to as a yevama. The deceased brother is a yevam, can extricate himself and free the yevama from this obligation with what is called chalitza, which is a form of divorce. It's kesef and shtar and bia are used for betrothal. A regular man to a lady. It is not the case by a yavama. What happens if one of the brothers uses kesef shtar bia? So in fact, midoraisa, it really doesn't matter, but midorabanan, our sages, taught us that it does forbid her to the other brothers, and therefore it creates a singular relationship with the brother that gave her this kesef shtar or the bia. However, he would still need, if it was kesef or shtar, he would still need to do the bia in order to formalize and complete that relationship. And as I said before, v'konas atzma b'chalitza, misas hayavam, there are two ways where a yavama can return back to a regular status of a regular widow, and that is with chalitza, this rejection of yibum, which is a process which is described at in the end of Megillas Rus, where effectively the man rejects her. He actually spits in her shoe, rejecting her, that he doesn't want to continue this relationship, continue his brother's family, or, of course, the death of the Yavam, the death of the brother. Those are the two ways a Yavama becomes a regular widower and should be permitted to marry pretty much anyone else. That is the end of the first Mishnah.